you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
You can go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to go back over to John chapter 10 in just a minute, but I just want to remind you, we just started this subject last week, knowing God's voice. And I just want to remind you of a few things that we talked about last week. So this, to me, is one of the most central truths and ideas and parts of our Christian life is living in conversation with God. And we're all at different places with that. For almost all of us, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is something we have to learn and develop, because we all grew up getting every thought from here and very few from here, from the Spirit. And now we're born again. We're part of God's family. And he lives in us. And what I've found over the years, and I said this last week, this is one of the main questions I think that I've dealt with and gotten from people over the years, is how do I learn to hear from God? And to me, the most essential key, the best starting point for that, is you have to believe that you can hear from God. So many of us, if we're having any struggle, or we haven't been hearing, we feel like we're not hearing, that kind of thing, we'll start to take that up as a belief in our own heart about ourselves. You know, I never hear from God. Oh, I can't hear from God. It's just not true. And the verses we're looking at right now tell us that Jesus said, if you belong to him, you can hear his voice. Okay? And that was true for me. It was true for Karen. We can point back to specific places in our lives, specific times, when we realized, I got to stop saying I can't hear from God. I need to take what Jesus said as truth and believe it. I need to set my heart. No, I can. Maybe I'm not right now. Maybe I don't know how yet. Maybe I'm not very good at it, whatever. But yes, I can, because I belong to him. And secondly, because he's so faithful. And that's where I put my confidence with virtually everything, is that God's faithful. And we're going to see that today. God is speaking, okay? He is. And we can hear him. And it's something we can grow in. But we always say, you know, one of the main things people have been saying in my lifetime, since around the 1970s, people have been saying, you know, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus, right? And that's true. It's a relationship with the Father God through Jesus Christ. It's absolutely true. It's a huge revelation to me, you know, because many of us practiced religion, but there was no relationship. Well, think about relationship and what it is. Without good communication, there's no good relationship. All good relationships are built on good communication. So God didn't build us to not be able to communicate with him. The first scene in the Bible is God speaking words that produced everything that we see, right? He spoke, and the universe began and has continued to expand. I don't know how far we're going to get today, but that's one of the things the Lord's really been bringing up, is that a word from God, any word from God, once spoken, continues to be alive. It continues, in a sense, to be spoken. It continues to go forward. A word from God isn't just something he did speak. It's something that is speaking. And that's how we look at our Bibles. This is a written down word that God spoke, something that God did. He inspired it into somebody. But you know what? It's still speaking. Every word from God is alive and active, sharp, powerful, right? So we see that in the beginning, in the scripture. And then we see, very shortly thereafter, we see God walking and talking in the cool of the day with his people, right? He never stopped. He never stopped speaking. A sin problem came in. our fellowship with him was more difficult, but now we're on the other side of the cross. We've been redeemed from the curse. We have been transferred into his kingdom. His spirit actually lives on the inside of you. It'd just be weird if there's somebody living in your house that, you know, I'm not talking about a renter that lives upstairs that goes out the back and you never see. I'm talking about a family member that lives in your house and you never had a conversation with them. That would not be healthy, okay? I'm not going to start making jokes. There's a lot of good ones right there about family relationships, but think about it, you know? If there was no communication, no back and forth, there wouldn't be any relationship there. It's the same thing with us and the Lord. So wherever we are with this, it's really important to realize you don't have to be specially gifted. You don't have to be some perfect holy person. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be weird to hear from God. You can hear from God, okay? And I'm going to dwell on that because that's the first thing we need to get. So we started here last week in John chapter 10, beginning with verse 3. And this is Jesus speaking. He's telling a parable, and in context, he's talking to the Pharisees and their thing. But anyway, let's just look at what he says. He says, the watchman opens the gate for him. This is for the shepherd. And the sheep listen to his voice. That word listen means they recognize and hear and obey. That's what that word means. They recognize and they hear and they obey his voice. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls them by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. All right. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we pointed out last week that last part doesn't mean you can't hear the voice of the enemy. Okay. They wouldn't run away from that voice if they couldn't hear it. It means they don't recognize it. They don't give it place. It's not a familiar voice. It's not a comfortable voice. It raises red flags on the inside of them, so they run away. So we pointed out from 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 22, I believe, that the Bible says we actually have an anointing from the Holy Spirit to know his voice and to know truth and good and evil, truth and lies. We have the Holy Spirit actually does something on the inside of us so that we have this release from the Holy Spirit to actually know his voice and to recognize the voice of a stranger. Okay? So Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And we talked last week, John 1:12. We become his sheep, we become his children when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Very clear. John chapter 1 verse 12 tells us that, okay? When we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we become children of God. And so we become a part of his flock. We become a part of his sheep, okay? So I made that point to you, but I wanted to add to that today that, you know, the question comes up right away. Well, do people who are not Christians hear his voice? And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. We have record throughout the scripture, throughout the Old Testament, of people who were not born again that heard the voice of God. We have record of people in the world that have heard the voice of God. We have lots of testimonies right now of God moving on people and speaking to them in dreams and different things in Muslim nations, in different places where Jesus is not worshiped, and God at times and in places will intervene in people's lives, speak to them so that they will come to know him and become believers and then begin to spread that in their culture. We have lots of, so I'm not saying you have to be a Christian or you can't hear the voice of God. What I'm saying is for the Christian, it should be absolutely normal. For the Christian, it's a familiar voice. For a non-Christian, it may not be a familiar voice. For a believer, there's a familiarity because his spirit lives in us and we're his children. Okay, does that make sense to you? All right, so it says that he calls his own sheep by name, and that means he knows you. He knows you. He sees you. He knows who you are. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he loves you. Okay? And when he speaks to us, he speaks to us in a way we can understand. It is personal. That's the thing. We can be reading the Bible and be reading verses we've read 100 times and have one of those verses just leap out and speak to us. It is personal, and it's for today. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So he calls, and he leads. He calls, and he moves us from one place to another. He moves us from one level of understanding to another. He moves us from one place of brokenness into healing. He moves us from one place into a greater calling. He moves us. Where is he taking me? Wherever we are, he's still taking us forward. And this will happen your whole life. He calls them in a personal way. He speaks to us in a personal way. And there's a purpose to that word. Whatever he's speaking to you, this is why. When we know God is impressing something on our heart, a scripture's coming out, we're hearing teaching and realizing there's something in it that's for us. Whenever we have that witness in the Spirit that this is God speaking to us, we need to make a big deal of it. We need to note that word. We need to write that word down. We need to go and pray over that word and meditate on that word, because God is speaking to us for a purpose, and he is trying to take us somewhere. Okay, so Jesus said, we hear his voice, he speaks to us, he calls us by name, and then he takes us somewhere. Okay, there's always a purpose to what he's doing. And then he says that he goes on ahead of them. Now, this is important, okay? He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow. Now, that seems really simple, okay? But there's a lot in that. He goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow. And I'll just make this statement to you here. I may make it to you a few times today. We have an anointing to hear his voice. We choose to follow. Every time we hear his voice, every time we know God's speaking something to us, we have a choice. He doesn't take away our freedom. And here's the deal, okay? And his sheep follow, right? Shepherds in those days, and I know in other parts of the world, I know for sure in Romania, and I don't know where all, but they led the sheep. They didn't drive the sheep. We drive sheep, right? We have horses, we have dogs, we have four-wheelers, we have whatever. We drive sheep. That's what we do, okay? That's not the way they did it. They led the sheep. They went ahead of them. And I know that, for instance, and I know because I know people that have been on missions trips in Romania, and they realized what these verses were saying, that the shepherds go ahead of the sheep, okay? So he speaks to us, but a characteristic of being his sheep, belonging to him, is that we follow. Because we do have a choice. We have an anointing to hear. We choose to follow. If we don't choose to follow, what we heard isn't going to do us any good. Every time we hear from God, our response determines how much that word will do in our life. Every time. Our response to that word. Do we make it a big deal? Do we not? Do we take it? Do we ignore it? Do we reject it? Do we receive it with all of our heart? What do we do with it? Okay, that's where we choose whether we're going to follow, because he's going somewhere, okay? And that's why he is. So we let him lead, okay? There are a lot of believers that live with the expectation that God is going to herd them, okay? He's going to surround them with circumstances that push them a certain direction, and they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to do because this happened or that happened or there's this opportunity. Not all opportunities are from God. Some are. But we need to hear his voice to know the difference. Okay? We're not, he will not drive us and herd us. He will not push you a direction by injuring your life. He doesn't work that way. He wants to have a relationship with you with good communication. And he will take the lead in that, in making sure that you can hear what you need to hear and know what he is saying enough to take that next step. Does that make sense to you? Okay? So he goes on ahead of them. All right? The Bible says that over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It says that the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. They are led. And that word led means to lead by accompanying. So the other part of this is he's not way ahead to where we're not quite sure where he is. He's already gone over four hills and we're still stuck back here. Okay? He's not way out there. The Holy Spirit leads by accompanying. Okay? He takes hold together with us and moves forward. Now, if we stubbornly stand there, we're going to miss some things, no question about it. But his MO, okay, his method of operation is to lead us along step by step. And he does that through speaking to us, okay? So what does that mean to me? It means God is speaking into our lives to equip us for what we have not faced yet. He is speaking into our lives today a word that will apply to today, but it doesn't only apply to today. It will apply for the future. He is preparing us. He is equipping us ahead. He is calling us and leading us somewhere. He is speaking to us and leading us somewhere. His word is equipping us for what we're going to face. God does not just speak to us at the last second. Sometimes we hear him at the last second, but it is not his nature. He is the God who sees ahead and provides ahead of time. One of his Old Testament names meant exactly that. This is his nature we're talking about, all right? He wants to equip us for what we will face. The word you hear today, again, I'm not saying it won't apply to today, but we need to understand it, that it is equipping us for what we're going to face tomorrow or next month or whenever it is. When we come into a new situation or a new challenge in life, okay, we can know two things. God has already spoken something that I need to overcome in this situation, to know how to handle this situation, to go through this situation, whatever it might be. God has already spoken something to me that applies here. And secondly, he's been there ahead of me. Okay, he has been. I'm not out here alone. He didn't push me ahead. He didn't send the dogs to drive me. Okay, and he's back there eating lunch. He went ahead, and he has spoken something that applies to this situation. And I'll just say this to you as a practical matter. So often we run into something that takes us by surprise, but it doesn't take him by surprise, number one. And that's a good thing to remember when you start praying over situations. I pray that a lot. God, this did not take you by surprise. Because that settles my heart into realizing it's cool. Okay? It's cool. I didn't know this was coming, but he did. And sometime in the last 6 months, in the last year, he has spoken a word to me that has prepared me for this moment. Okay? Are you getting this? This is an important idea because most people, well, I shouldn't say it. Maybe that's too negative. A lot of believers don't live this way. They just think God's the God of the last minute. They have a theology. We have built a lot of theologies trying to explain God's silence when God's not silent. Whether we have our ears plugged or whether we just don't know to listen, whatever it might be. Okay, whatever it might be, we've built all kinds of theologies to try and explain why God is silent. And if I can move along, we'll get to some scriptures that will show us that God is not silent. But I got to stay right here for just a second. So here's what happens, I believe, okay? Well, I know from the word. The words of God enter our hearts as seeds, right? We know that. And there's a gestation period of that seed growing. Jesus taught us this. All right, so the word of God comes in as seed. And depending on the condition of our heart, that seed, just think about soil. If it's 30 degrees outside as a high, and you plant seeds, they're not going to germinate and grow and, you know, like they would if it was 60 or 70 degrees outside, okay? It's different. The condition of the soil is different. The environmental conditions are different. God speaks a word into our lives, knowing, and I believe, calculating for the gestation period of that seed, given the condition of our hearts, so that that seed will produce a harvest at the moment it's needed. That's what I believe about the Lord. He prepares us ahead of time. And if we're paying attention and we're listening to what he's saying, and here's just this is just so practical, but it's just a key. We make a huge mistake when we're hearing teaching or we're reading in our Bibles or whatever it might be, and we have a perceived need in our life. I have one real perceived need. This is what I need to hear about right now. And whatever, sometimes the Lord is just highlighting something else, and I don't see how it connects to that. Or I'm up here teaching, and you're saying, well, I don't need to hear about this today. I need to hear about that. We make a huge mistake when we devalue the word we hear today because it doesn't apply to my felt need today. Because God is equipping, assuming it's an anointed word and you know God is on it, he is preparing you for something else. We need to eat the meal he puts before us. It's a huge key to living spiritually healthy. Eat the meal he puts before us. It's that simple. My mother lived by this. You will eat the meal. You know, at least God doesn't make us sit there till 9 o'clock at night, but to eat our green beans. But it's true. So, and I've heard this over the years, people, it just, well, you know, that just wasn't what I needed that day. Well, maybe it wasn't, but he probably spoke what you needed that day 3 months ago and wanted it to be germinating in your heart as you meditated on that word. I believe with all my heart, God is a God who knows our needs ahead of time and prepares. He speaks and he leads us on. Okay, he goes ahead of us. He equips us ahead of time. His word is not just for the moment. And many times he does. He speaks a word to us. It's, oh man, that's just what I needed to hear today. That's awesome. You're going to need it again. It's still a seed that needs to be germinated. But it's so important to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is saying. Does that make sense to you? Okay, Matthew chapter 4. Here's what Jesus said. He said, it is written, of course, he's speaking to the devil in this point, you know, who is trying to get him. He's been fasting. The devil's trying to get him to create loaves of bread. He says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, that our lives do not consist in the abundance of things. Our lives are not just made up of, they're not just filled with the abundance of things. Even though he said, I have an abundant life for you, he said, your life does not consist of just a bunch of natural things and material things. You have a spiritual life. And that's what he's talking about here. He's saying we need to be eating spiritual food. We need to be nourished spiritually and the word of God. And that word is the Greek word rhema. It is the spoken word of God. What God is speaking to you, what he's highlighting to you, what he's impressing upon you. Those words are spiritual nourishment to us. And it's the same thing. If we do not listen to the Lord on a regular basis and pay attention to the things that he is saying to us, we will become spiritually malnourished. And just like in the natural, being malnourished, we'll become susceptible to spiritual disease, to temptation to sin, to fear, to anxiety, to depression, to all these different things when we're not feeding continually on the words that God speaks. In the original language, are you still with me? In the original language here, it says, it's talking about when he says, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God in the New King James Version. It is describing a continual flow from God's mouth to our ears. It's in the continuous present tense. It's happening now, but it's happening continually now. Okay? We don't have that in English, but I wish we did. It's a verb tense that is really prevalent in the Bible, and especially talking about the Word of God. It is happening right now, and now, and now, and now, and now, continuously into eternity. Let me read you a couple other translations there. Matthew 4:4 in the Message says, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. A steady stream of words. That's a good translation. In the Passion Translation, it says, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word that constantly goes forth from God's mouth. Every word that constantly goes forth from God's mouth. So we can have this understanding, and we can have this expectation that there is a God is speaking. Okay? I mean, it's that simple. God is speaking. God has something to say. Okay? He is speaking. And he's speaking to me. Why? Because I'm one of his sheep. I'm his child. He's got something to say to me. Okay? So what we're trying to do is just gain confidence about God's end. Then we can learn some things about our end. We can learn about what we've been calling on Tuesday night the necessity of stillness. Okay, we've got to learn how to get quiet to hear the voice of God. We've got to learn how to take things we do think we're hearing and know that, yeah, it lines up with the scripture. We've got to learn how it feels on the inside for something to bear witness with the Holy Spirit and to know that's God speaking. Whether I understand it or not doesn't matter right now. What I know is that it's God saying something, okay? Lots of things, lots of keys that we can talk about. But what we need to realize is Jesus is saying man will not experience the fullness of life. The fullness of life that I have for them, he won't experience the fullness of it. I think unless he is tuning in to that flow of what God is saying. You know, when he says our life does not consist of the abundance of natural things, it just means, you know, our identity is not derived from what we have. Our contentment, Karen and I were talking about contentment a little bit this morning. We spent some time this week with a very discontent relative, and it's sad. That's not supposed to be funny. It's very sad, okay? You can have everything in the world and be very discontent. Or you can have very little and be very content. Or you can have very little and be very discontent. And you can have a lot. And you can be either discontent or content. It doesn't come from that. Contentment, satisfaction of life, that type of thing, it doesn't come from what we have. Doesn't mean it also doesn't come from not having anything. See, that's where religion has taken it. Oh no, you got to get rid of everything, then you'll be happy. Not necessarily. There's just as much covetousness in the poor as there is in the wealthy. And I don't want to get off on this. A lot of our social justice thing right now, what we're calling social justice, is nothing more than covetousness. I should have what they have. No, you should have what God wants for you. And you should first have Jesus. Maybe you do. I'm just saying. You should have Jesus first. You'll have contentment. He can add things to you. And you can be satisfied. You can be content with much or less. That's what Paul said. I've learned how to be content when I've got a ton and when, this is my translation, when I've got a ton and when I don't have anything. I've learned the secret of being content. It's keeping my focus on Jesus. Okay, so covetousness is not just greed, okay? It's not just limited to people who have a lot, okay? So the point is, life comes, satisfaction, identity, strength, purpose, all those things come from feeding on the Lord, having that relationship with the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this? Okay. Okay, I want to, in the time we have left, I want to read some quotes to you from A.W. Tozer and just talk about them a little bit. I don't normally do that, but these really stood out to me this week. Actually, what happened is Justin, our friend in Canada, was tuned in to this, to our service last week, apparently. And he texted me on, I think it must have been Monday or Tuesday, and said, "Hey, I just, you know, heard what you were teaching. I've just been reading this in one of Tozer's books, and you might look at this." And so I did, and it was really good. And so I just want to share some of these with you because it's right along the lines. Even though it came from Justin, it's still pretty good. So we always have so much fun. I miss bantering with that guy. Whoa. Sorry. Everybody okay? I'm okay too. All right. So this is a quote. It's up there. Is it readable? Oh, yeah, probably. And he's talking about hearing from the Lord, and he says, "I believe that much of our religious unbelief is due to a wrong conception and a wrong feeling for the scriptures of truth. This is what we think. A silent God suddenly began to speak in a book, and when the book was finished, he lapsed back into silence again forever. Now we read the book as a record of what God said when he was for a brief time in a speaking mood. With notions like that in our heads, how can we believe? The facts are that God is not silent, has never been silent. It is the nature of God to speak. The second person of the Holy Trinity is called the Word. The Bible is the inevitable outcome of God's continuous speech. It is the infallible declaration of his mind for us put into familiar human words." So whenever we reduce the written word, okay, we go to our Bibles, whenever we reduce the written word to just something that God said rather than something that is speaking to us today, we turn it into just like a box of old love letters that we read again and again and again. Okay, but there's no speech coming from it to us now. This is why the Holy Spirit was sent to live in us, to remind us of everything that Jesus has said, to guide us, to counsel us, to speak to us. And when we're in the written word, we should be, from that written word, hearing what God is speaking to us now. What's being highlighted? What is jumping off the page? What is being impressed? What is, you walk into a situation, you don't even have your Bible with you, and all of a sudden the scripture comes up in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Or the idea of a scripture comes up in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit bringing that scripture alive to you for today. Otherwise, it's just a box of old love letters, and they're fun to read, but there's no present, continuous life to it. Does that make sense? Okay, let's look at a couple more. You still with me? Okay. He says, this is Tozer again, "I think a new world will arise out of the religious myths when we approach our Bibles with the idea that it's not only a book which was once spoken, but it's also a book which is now speaking." And I know most of you do this, but we really need to have hold of this. "The prophets habitually said, 'Thus saith the Lord.' They meant their hearers to understand God's speaking in the continuous present." Again, I don't mean for this to sound real mystical or weird or anything. It isn't. But we've got to, as Westerners, we don't really have a concept of continuous present. Present is the present. The future is the future. The past is the past. They're all separate. No, not in God's world. Okay, not in God's economy. There is a continuous present word coming. So yeah, it applies right now, but it'll also apply for the future. We're not going to go there this morning because I don't have time. But Hebrews chapter 3, around verse 7, it uses that word today. And it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like they did in the rebellion," right? Today, if you hear his voice. That word today in the Greek does not just mean today. It means today and for the future. Today and in the future. It's both together, continuously. Jesus used the same word over in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, "Give us today our daily bread." Same word, today. It means give us for today what we need tomorrow. Give us for today what is satisfying today but feeds into the future. This idea is all over the Bible. We just don't know it because we read it in English and we're Westerners. Okay, and we've got everything broken down into little laboratory, provable laboratory ideas in our minds. Okay. Tozer goes on to say, we may use the past tense properly to indicate that at a certain time, a certain word of God was spoken, but a word of God once spoken continues to be spoken as a child once born continues to be alive, or a world once created continues to exist. Once the word of God is out there, it continues to have power, to have life, to release life. It doesn't just stop. It isn't just for the past. This is why prophecy has multiple applications. Any prophecy we see, there was an application that was right for that day and what was going on, but there will be future applications of that same prophetic word. Okay, you still with me? Okay, we've just got a couple more. All right, one more quote here. God did not write a book and send it by messenger to be read at a distance by unaided minds. He spoke a book and lives in his spoken words, constantly speaking his words and causing the power of them to persist across years. This is why we can read that same verse and 10 years later read that verse and it will speak a brand new, fresh, living, powerful message into our hearts because God's word continues to live and speak. All right, you can write down a few scriptures here. We don't need to look these up, but let me read them to you. John chapter 6, verse 63, you guys know this. The Spirit gives life. This is Jesus speaking. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken are spirit and life. The words I have spoken, okay, they are spirit and life. That means every time I pick up or the Holy Spirit births a word that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, it still is spirit and life. It produces the life of God in me and in whatever situation that it's sent to, okay? Was spoken, is alive. Okay? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word God speaks, that's presence tense, is alive and full of power. Okay? Whatever God is speaking to me, it is alive. It is full of power. This is why I need to know He is speaking. I need to know and I need to learn how to hear what He is saying. It is alive and it is full of power. Okay? We don't need to go into those. Okay, two more quotes, and then we'll be done for today. All right. This is another Tozer quote, and he's talking about what Jesus said. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Okay. He says, the life is in the speaking words, the continuous speaking words. God's word in the Bible. Can now think about this. This is not putting down the Bible by any means. God's word in the Bible can have power only because it corresponds to God's word, spoken word, in the universe. It is the present voice which makes the written word all-powerful. Otherwise, it would lie locked in slumber within the cover of a book. Okay, it is what God is speaking from His word today that gives the written word that power and that life. So what does this mean? This means when I come to the word of God, when I have my devotional time, it's really important for me. I always come with kind of two purposes. Number one, I just want to have fellowship with God, which revolves around Him speaking and me speaking, okay, conversation. But I just want to have that intimacy. I want to have that closeness. I want to connect. At some point during my devotional time every day, I just, and it can only be a moment and it can change my day, but I want to sense that connection. You're here, I'm here. We're in the same room, okay? So I want that intimacy. But secondly, I want to hear what the Lord has to say into my life today and how it needs to be applied. So I just come with that attitude that I expect God's going to speak to me. I don't get a fresh anointed word every single day. I don't. Sometimes I let my brain take me away. Sometimes it's the cat. I do the same thing you do, but I set myself for that every day, and more often than not, there's something that comes alive from the word, and I take it, and I might write it down, and I meditate on it, think about it, pray over it, that kind of thing. I come with that attitude that this word, even though it's written in a book, is alive, and it speaks. And it's either for me today, or it can be for me today and for today and the future. And if God's anointing is on it, I'm going to make a big deal out of it. Okay? If we do that, I think we're looking for these big, dramatic, everything has to be Hollywood. And it's got to be big. It's got to be loud. It's got to be dramatic. And God comes along and just speaks a few words in that still, small voice every time we let him. And over a lifetime, it totally changes your life. Just sitting down to that simple meal. Sometimes it's dramatic, but most of the time, it's a family meal. Same thing with church. Sometimes it's a holiday. Sometimes it's Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's Christmas. Sometimes it's, you know, some big blowout thing. But a lot of time, it's just a good meal. And we just sit down, and we have a meal on the word, and we fellowship together, and we go home, and it changes our lives. Okay? I have one last thing, and we're done. Okay, this is Tozer again. A lot of quotes. I don't normally do this, but I really felt like I should give you these. And he basically is saying in a lot worse way than what I just said. If you would, that was a joke. If you would follow on to know the Lord, in other words, if you want to know the Lord, come at once to the open Bible, expecting it to speak to you. Do not come with the notion that it's a thing which you may push around at your convenience. It is more than a thing. It is a voice, a word, the very word of the living God. So, again, just repeat. What we need right now is just to be absolutely confident about God's end. God is speaking. And our end in that I can hear him. He designed me to hear him. He created me to hear him. I'm born again. Whether I've ever heard him or not, whether I hear him frequently or not, I can. And he'll help me do it. If you can grab that, then you can just start growing in your ability to hear the Lord and perceive what he's saying to you. Okay, and we'll talk about some of those things in the next few weeks. Okay, did you get anything out of this? Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Lord. And I'll have you notice it's like 6 minutes before 11. So, yeah, it's huge, huh? It's huge. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. We thank you for just who you are. I'm just so, so thankful that you are the personal God that you are. I'm so thankful that you speak to us and then lead us. Lord, I'm so grateful that you have given us this new birth and put your spirit in us, come to live on the inside of us so that we can live in this kind of communication with you. And our lives can be directed by it. And Father, we recognize this morning, and just anybody who will agree with me, we just say, Lord, the things that you speak to us, they are life. Your word and the things that you are saying to our spirit, that's our life. That's where our real life is. And Lord, those things also equip us to go out into our earthly lives and our community and spread your life and your love and your light and your revelation. It is your words that equip us to go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It is your words that give us a word in season for somebody else. Lord, it is your words that give us the ability to overcome in every kind of situation that will come into our lives, to live quiet, peaceful, satisfied lives, no matter what goes on this earth. So, Father, we thank you for all of that. And I pray, Lord, that as we're in this study, that you just work with each and every one of us to help us develop those spiritual ears to know what you are saying to us. And we thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, there's a lot of snacks out there, so not many of us in here this morning. You better get at it. Eat double today and hang around fellowship. Glad you're here today. Are you glad you're here today?
Yes.
All right. Let's say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world, and then we'll be dismissed. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. You go out there and be the church.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.